Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Saturday afternoon to you all, and thank you for finding your way back to 5 minutes at the Frat House here on Fan Junkies Radio. And as always, I am your regular Saturday afternoon host, Frat House Mike, and in just a couple of moments, I'm going to be bringing you the 30-minute, a little bit over 30 minutes, about 32-minute audio version of our latest 5 minutes at the Frat House video production, which took place just a couple of days ago right here at Frat House and at our Frat House studios. A very different kind of 5 minutes at the Frat House, as you're going to hear in just a couple of moments. But before I get to that, I want to, as we are now entering our fourth Saturday afternoon broadcast here on Fan Junkies Radio, I want to throw a thank you and a shout out to all of the wonderful listeners that we've had so far. Just incredible numbers. Last week, again, a record number of listeners tuning in to 5 minutes at the Frat House here, and I truly, truly appreciate that, and I certainly hope that, in fact, perhaps maybe we'll be looking at breaking another record again today. I think if you are tuning in, you're going to find what we've got here planned for you today is quite, well, as I pointed out, quite a bit different. A little bit thought-provoking. Perhaps it's going to generate some thoughts of your own as you listen to it. And perhaps maybe you'll even want to call in about it at the conclusion of it. And perhaps maybe give me your thoughts on some of the topics that we bring up in this particular episode. And if you want to do that at that time, the phone number to call in is 347-237-5373. If you're brand new to the program and you're wondering what in the world is 5 minutes at the Frat House all about, as I pointed out, it is a video production, and it's been going for 73 straight weeks strong. 73 straight weeks, as I point out. 70. Think about that. That's a long time to be going with a sports rap program, and that's what it is. Runs about 30 minutes in length, and you can find it over on YouTube. If you go over to YouTube, type in 5 minutes at the Frat House, you will find all of our productions over there, including this most recent one, which I'm going to be bringing to you momentarily. Also, you can also find all of our videos over at frathousesports.net. That is our website. But I think one of the things I really, really would, you know, and seeing so many listeners come down the line in the past couple of weeks, so many of you tuning in, and again, I appreciate that. But I would ask you to take just a couple extra minutes at some point, perhaps today after this show is concluded. Oh, maybe while you're listening even right now. Jump over to Facebook and go in and type in the Frat House - Eagleville. You'll find our Facebook page. And then go in and give that a like. And you'll get all of our programming updates. You'll know when our videos are on. You'll actually get all of our videos. Plus, on top of all that, you get our daily updates, national sports updates of some of the most important topics and things going on in all sports and on all teams. There's about four of us. We have four administrators who work on that page and are constantly combing the media to find the most important stories that are out there and make sure that you are up to date with those. Doesn't matter whether it's the NFL, NBA, NASCAR, NHRA, NHL, Major League Baseball. If there's a big trade, if there's a major controversy going down, you can get and bet that we're going to have that information up there on our Facebook page. So, again, jump over to Facebook, all right, and type in the Frat House - Eagleville, and you will find our Facebook page. And just give it a like. It takes, what, takes seconds to do that. This program that I'm bringing you today is kind of it's a bookend piece, if I might. Back on August 12th, which would have been 5 Minutes at the Frat House, episode number 50. On August 12th, what Sidekick and I did was we convened a panel. Actually, two other people. We pulled together two other people to come on the show with us in what was a rather unique and different program. If you recall, August 12th, at that particular time, we were right smack in the middle of NFL preseason. And so what we did was we posed a number of topics out there during that particular episode, number 50. We posed a number of topics out there that revolved around the upcoming NFL season. We talked about a whole bunch of things that potentially could have affected the pending season. You know, things like Bounty Gate, things like the replacement refs. Oh, yeah, you remember that? You remember? Yeah. Hey, we had replacement refs at the beginning of the season. Everybody forgot that. The impact of concussions on the game. And we talked about a number of different issues. And for 30 minutes, we did nothing but talk NFL season, NFL football in what we called a preseason roundtable. Well, Sidekick and I thought it might be a good idea in light of the fact this is the in-between week, that wonderful blank week right now. Isn't it horrible? That open week between the AFC and NFC championships and the Super Bowl. This open week, we thought what we would do is reconvene a panel, put them together again in our studio here in one room, and what we would do is we would discuss end-of-season issues revolving around strictly the NFL. And so this is what we call our end-of-season NFL roundtable. And you're going to hear a number of different topics brought up, and there are four of us that are involved in it. Of course, Sidekick and myself. We brought Brandon back, who was on the original program back on number 50. But you're also going to hear a voice in here that might sound familiar, particularly if you listen to Fan Junkies Radio with me and Jonathan Regis every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. In fact, just yesterday, this voice spent the entire program on with us almost kind of as a co-host. And that's the voice of Jim Williams, who works over at CLW 83. And what a voice he has. And you're going to hear a lot of his comments and a lot of his terrific input into some of these issues that we're going to bring up. There are roughly four broad topics that we talk about, and it takes us right through the entire half hour. Now, as I pointed out, and as I pointed out numerous weeks now in a row, if you care to call in at any time during the rebroadcast of this particular show, during the 32 minutes, you may do so, and I will pick up your call as soon as the show has concluded airing and playing. If you want to jump in after the fact, that's fine. I'm going to stick around here right up until the 4 o'clock hour to take any live calls that come in. Maybe there's something that you want to weigh in on, something that you heard in our program, maybe something you disagree with, maybe you felt we missed something completely, something that we overlooked. By all means, listen, that's what I'm here for. I would love to take your live calls. I love it. I love when I can get the interaction from folks from anywhere, all over the place. Doesn't matter what your team affiliation is or whether you agree or disagree with me. That's what sports and sports talk is all about. So, without any further delay, let me bring you our NFL end of season roundtable. This is from 5 Minutes at the Frat House, number 73. Again, you can find this one over on YouTube just by going in and typing 5 Minutes at the Frat House. You will find number 73 there. And let me bring that to you right now. Very different 5 Minutes at the Frat House with Frat House Mike and Sidekick. And for those of you that have been following the show for any length of time, you might recall it was about 23 weeks ago, way back, I believe the date was on like August 12th or so, that we did something preseason football. We had a little round table going on. We brought together a bunch of people and we just kind of talked football the whole time.
all kinds of things, different things that might be affecting the sport, the season, that sort of thing. And so what we thought we would do, since it is now the end of the season, is we kind of do a post-mortem. And so what we did was we brought back Brandon, our technical director, who you might recall was in that program back there on August 12th. And we brought in a very special guest and friend of mine, Jim the Voice Williams.
Oh, hello. Yes.
Who frequently, some of you might know the voice because you've heard him as a contributor and a regular participant with us over on Fan Junkies Radio. And Jim, I appreciate you being here with us. Thanks a lot. You do a little broadcasting, is that right?
If you want occasion, yes. I do lend my voice to some television and radio projects, yes, and I actually podcast on CLW83.com.
Okay, and you've done some play-by-play work recently?
Done some play-by-play work over the years, basketball, football, and some baseball, softball action. I'm currently the public address manager at Cumberland County College. I've been doing that for about 10 years now.
Right. That's great. And listen, we appreciate you being here with us. And,
no problem.
Bringing us all your infinite NFL football wisdom. We appreciate that.
I got plenty. Let's do it.
Plus, I need a little support since I know you're another Philly Eagles fan. So.
Yes, indeed.
Let's kick it off. Here we are. We're in that in-between week right now between the end of the championship season and championship games that we just saw and now the Super Bowl. And I guess, gentlemen, the first question I would throw out there, and let me throw it to Brandon first. We watched the whole season. Is there anything that jumps out to you as having the greatest impact? Perhaps one event, perhaps something that occurred, maybe a team, maybe a player, something that would have had an enormous impact on where we are today and the season itself?
Well, we did talk during the preseason show about some of the things that were going on with replacement refs and the Bounty Gate issue with the Saints. And I think if you look at it, both those issues turned out to have a little impact. The referees had a huge impact, if you really want to go back to look at the touchception game that it's known to be called now. You know,
Seattle-Green Bay, right?
It totally changed Seattle and Green Bay's seeding. Not necessarily so much for Seattle, but Green Bay had to play an extra game. They didn't get the home game the first round. They didn't get the first round bye, and then a home game after that. They had a home game the first round of the playoffs instead. They ended up losing that second game in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you can draw a direct comparison to it, but things might have been different if that game was in Green Bay.
So you're looking at the replacement refs
had a huge, even though they were only in the game for about 3-4 weeks. They had a pretty large impact on the NFC outcome.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah. Sidekick.
I'm going to go with impacts for the season, concussions and benchings. You look, you know, almost a tale of two cities. You look at San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Alex Smith gets a concussion, is out. You know, we have Colin come in, who's now leading his team to the Super Bowl, and how the trajectory of their season now has gone. And then you look at the Eagles with Mike Vick getting his concussion and then subsequent benching, Foles coming in, and kind of Eagles fans losing some faith in their team, kind of knowing at that point the season's now kind of awash and over. And, you know, now you immediately start talking about rebuilding and Andy Reid's record and is he going to be coach again. You know, so that's that would be my impact.
Yeah, and you make a good point. I mean, it is kind of a tale of two cities because what happened with both of them had the completely opposite effect.
Correct.
Foles didn't do much, really. I don't know where it's all going to go in the end, but certainly didn't have the impact on the Eagles that Colin Kaepernick, and, you know, I was talking about it just this morning with Jonathan on Fan Junkies Radio. I've kind of been a little bit down on Kaepernick and the whole move myself.
Right.
But it certainly is, you know, who are we to second guess when they're going to the Super Bowl? Jim, what do you think?
I was told there wasn't going to be talk about the Eagles season on this show. Anyway, but I'm going to side with Brent on this one. I think it's Refgate 2012. I think that's one of the big storylines. And 3 or 4 games, that's a quarter of the season it took up. And absolutely, you stole my thunder with the Seattle versus Green Bay Monday. Was it Monday or Sunday night? I think it was Sunday night.
Yeah.
Game where the whole interception that should never have been and the touchdown, that really put Roger Goodell in that deer in headlights kind of mode where it was so apparent, it was so obvious that he thought he could get away with, you know, passing off the integrity of the game to replacement officials. You can't do that.
Right.
I mean, we harp and we complain and we bleep on the current officials, the regular officials, but we're glad they're back now compared to some of the bad calls that happened, not just in that game, but a slew of them over the course of those 3 or 4 weeks they were in place.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you had that one Belichick.
Yeah.
Went after the ref.
Yeah.
And then got in trouble for touching a ref.
I think Belichick in that particular game was just looking for them to just look at the field goal to make sure it went, you know, inside over the top of that goalpost, and, you know, they wouldn't even think.
Sometimes Belichick would actually want to talk to somebody after a loss.
Very true. Yeah.
You know, nobody's brought up, and I guess if I were going to jump in and say one thing, nobody's brought up the impact that Peyton Manning had on the NFL this year. You know, I don't think anybody really expected the Denver Broncos nor Peyton Manning. I, for one, didn't expect them the kind of season they did. There was a moment there was some time there during the offseason and maybe even during last season where I thought he might never play again. And to come back and to take them where they were, I mean, I think that had an impact certainly on the AFC. It had an impact. It didn't have an impact, I guess, long-term towards where we are right now because it didn't come to any kind of fruition. But it certainly had an impact on where the AFC is and where they ended up being at the end of the season. So I guess I would have to throw out there like
Doc.
And that's our signal that we got to move on to the next. That's what that is. That's our sports signal that we got to move on to the next topic. I was just bringing up quarterbacks, and I think that is another great topic, and really one that kind of also ties into the previous topic we were kind of talking about. And the question that I would pose out, Jim, I'll tell you what, I'll kick it off with you on this one. We have had a lot of conversation here at the Pratt House over the past number of weeks as the season has progressed and as we've watched things. You take a look at that rookie class of quarterbacks that has come out this particular year. And then we sat back at different times and kind of compared it to 1983, which was probably without a doubt one of the greatest quarterback classes we've ever seen. And the question I would throw out there right now is, have we just witnessed this season perhaps maybe the best QB class since 1983?
I'll go one further.
Go ahead.
You may not have just seen the greatest QB class since 1983. We can be talking 20, 25 years from now. This could be the greatest ever.
Really?
Think about what we've seen and just
really?
Tell you. I know it's very early to say that. You look at what Andrew Luck did in Indianapolis. He took a franchise that was less than not when Peyton Manning hightailed out because of the injury, and he's made them believers again. Of course, you have to give a lot of credit to Bruce Arians, and you wonder, with a full season under Chuck Pagano, will things stay the same? That is to be determined. You look at Robert Griffin III in Washington. He literally took a franchise that has been besieged, buried, and left for dead by way of Daniel Snyder's doings, because Daniel Snyder likes to leave things for dead. That's kind of his MO.
Yeah.
And he's made Washington worth watching for the first time in almost 15 years.
You got that right.
And you look at a guy like Russell Wilson in Seattle. You know, he is now as integral a part of that offense as Marshawn Lynch, perhaps even more in some respects. You've got three solid quarterbacks. They may not necessarily do it with flashy statistics, but they are leaders. They are born leaders, and you take any one of them away from their respective teams, their teams would not be as successful as they were in 2012.
Can we throw Tannehill and Whedon in there?
Tannehill to a certain extent. I mean, Tannehill, when I was on the BS Big Show, Chief Plug, CLW83.com, 2 minutes. We did a prediction show on the BS Big Show.
No problem.
We all pretty much left the Dolphins at 2-3 wins. To get them to 7-9, that was impressive. Of course, I find more impressive Ryan Tannehill's wife, but that's neither here nor there. Brandon Whedon gives some hope to the folks in Cleveland. Not as much hope as Trent Richardson does, but he's a decent quarterback, and he should fit well within the scheme of things in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, what do you think?
I think there's.
I mean,
there's,
you and I remember that 83 class quite well.
Statistically. And I'm not even going to touch on the 83 class because, you know, they all started different ways. I mean, not everybody started from day one. Jim Kelly started in the USFL. I'm just going to go to two simple Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, who we mentioned earlier, and Troy Aikman. Both started every game in their rookie seasons and ended up 1-15. 1-15 out of two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Luck and Russell Wilson, 11 wins. RG3, 10 wins. And even if you want to go to Whedon and Tannehill, they both had 7-5 respectively. You can't fathom the fact that three of the four made the playoffs, two of them won a game in the playoffs, and you got Hall of Famers. You know, that I think some people could say Peyton Manning be the best of all time.
Right.
1-15 in his rookie season. And you can't say that RG3 or Luck or even Seattle had a lot to start with. You know, the Colts were 2-14 last year and had a fire sale. They probably had one of the highest roster turnovers of any team out there and still had 11-5 in a relatively tough division. I think
But let me ask you a question. Like Jim just said, do you think that this class has the potential to outshine what we saw out of 83?
I think it absolutely does. I mean, just off the top of my head, you know, that 83 class, they had a few Super Bowl appearances. I mean, Kelly was there four times. You know, Elway had two wins, made it once and didn't win.
Right.
You know, you go through that list, I think if you're going to count it by Super Bowl wins, these guys have the potential to easily eclipse that.
Yeah, especially in their first season.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, Russell Wilson, I'm sorry. Rookie of the year. I mean, I know the talks about RG3, but I think RG3, people were expecting him to come out and do good things. Russell Wilson comes out of nowhere, and then I can't remember if he tied or he broke Peyton Manning's rookie year records.
Right. You only brought that up in one of the previous shows.
I think you have to give a solid look to Russell Wilson coming out of nowhere. When you talk about the draft class overall, though, I think potentially the Redskins, I think, look like they came out the best with it.
Exactly. So the backup quarterback there.
Yeah, Kirk doesn't look bad either.
Exactly. When RG3 was out, the thing just kept on ticking.
Yep.
And you throw Morris in.
Morris is just incredible.
There are three rookies right there that they drafted, all starters.
Yes.
I mean, Cousins filled in for a hurt RG3, but Cousins could be a starter.
Cousins could be
a starter on half the teams in the league right now.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And you almost got to wonder whether in fact Washington might think about making a move in that direction.
Maybe not next year, but 2 years from
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Exactly.
They could get two number ones for him.
Yep.
They got some chips to play with, no doubt.
Yep. All righty. We've just come through 17 weeks of the regular season, and we've also had three playoff games before we go into the Super Bowl. I'll throw this one over to you, Sidekick, to kick it off. We've heard some talk this season and some insinuation from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell that, hey, there may be the possibility that perhaps maybe we could expand the playoffs. Now, we've just come through all of the playoffs. You know, we only have one game remaining. What do you think of that? Do you think it's a good idea? Should we go that direction? Leave it alone? Look, we're all rabid football fans. I mean, wouldn't that be the greatest thing in the world? Hey, let's add another game or two or another weekend or two involved in the whole thing. What do you think?
Well, I've gone on record about this before. If it's not broke, don't try to fix it.
Yeah.
Yes, I would love to have an extended season of football. I mean, everybody suffers from the post-football depression.
Well, we got this week in between right now.
Right.
What do we got? We got Pro Bowl. Seriously?
But I'm not a fan of expanding the playoffs and adding more teams in, because I think you dilute the pool. You know, there needs to be some incentive for wanting to have the best records and to get into the playoffs. If it's like hockey or one of these other sports where you take half the league and you put them into a playoff situation, I think it cheapens it, kind of.
Yeah.
And yet,
NHL is considered to be one of the greatest playoff seasons of any sport. even with all those contributors.
Right. And I think it works for the NHL, but I think for football and some purists, you know, we like having the wild card and that. I don't think we want to extend the playoffs and put more teams in.
Even though
your team is one win away from getting into the playoffs and you'd like to see them in the playoffs.
Sure.
You know, I still think it dilutes it too much.
Jim, I mean, come on. It sounds to me like it's a good idea. What do you think?
You know, I can take it or leave it personally. I can see both sides of the coin. I wouldn't be against it. Let me put it to you that way. If they expand things to 16, baseball, 10 out of 30. The NHL and the NBA are 16 out of 30, so it's actually more than half
Even
in the NBA. If they go to 16... In my opinion, it actually weights those who are division champions a lot heavier. You give each of the division champions a bye week. Two of them would get two bye weeks, actually, in all technicality. You have the four wildcard teams play at each other, beat each other up and what have you, to earn the right to go into the format we know currently. That could easily work. And you know this is eventually going to happen. Why? Television revenue, stadium revenue, the owners are going to be all for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes each week of the season that much more important. It adds weight to the end of the regular season. Those extra two wild cards in each conference, it'll bring more drama. I'm for it. I'll be honest. I am for it. I would not hesitate to see this happen because the NFL has carte blanche. They are a license to print money, and they're going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, you and I have talked about this at length.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you brought up to me, and I think it's a valid point, is that if we start expanding things, potentially we're going to see an 8-8, maybe a 7-9 team make it into the playoffs, and then we go to what you were talking about before, the whole dilution of it all.
Well, here's the math. All right, if you're going to have 16, you got to go to 16. You can't just add one aside. You got to go two aside. The four division winners get the bye week one. All the wild card teams play 1 week. The next week's the first round of divisionals where the wild card winners plays all the ones who had a bye. Then all the winners of those games play, and then you got conference titles. So you really, you know, and then if there's still the bye for the Super Bowl, then they get that. Whether they get rid of that week or not, I don't know. But here's the problem. This year in the AFC, the two teams would have been the 8-8 Pittsburgh Steelers and the 7-9 San Diego Chargers.
Yep.
I don't think anybody thinks those teams were, A, even moderately good, and two, would have had a chance in the playoffs. So, I mean, it's fun. It's more football. But is it good football? I mean, right now, the NFL playoffs, they're the best 3 weeks of any playoff season in my mind.
I agree with you.
So, do you hurt that a little or not? I don't know.
I agree with you.
I can't decide where I'd go.
I would love to find something to be done with this open week that we've got besides something ridiculous called the Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl is a joke. It has been since its inception. Let's not kid ourselves.
Well, I think we're seeing the demise of it. I really, truly believe this probably will be the last year.
To the point made about the dilution of the playoffs, remember the Seahawks not long ago, a 7-9 team got in as a wild card, got all the way to the division championship round. It makes for a competitive storyline. And you know what? Storylines are what the NFL lives, breathes, and runs off, for goodness sakes.
I'll tell you this, Jim, I was furious about Seattle making that playoff. I was absolutely furious about it.
Can I ask an interesting question here? If the Chargers make the playoffs as a wild card, do they have the house cleaning they have? Is North Turner and A.J. Smith still employed by the Chargers? If they go into playoffs and happen to win, like, a wild card game?
If you add the extra couple of teams to each conference in the wild card situation in the playoffs, you set yourself up for the way teams you set yourself up for teams to organize and manage themselves a lot differently with more to play for.
Right.
I think you look at things, you re-examine the structure of the way your team is made up. You try to play a little bit harder. You make different moves than you would make under the current clinching of a playoff situation. I think that there's a lot of variables in play.
So are you trying to say, Jim, that perhaps maybe the teams would play differently?
I think they have more motivation to step their level of play up, I think.
Yeah. All right, that's interesting. If we were to vote on it, if we were to sit here and vote on it as a four, I, for one, am in favor of expansion of playoff, Jim.
I'll say yes.
Psychic?
Sorry, I'm a no.
And Brandon.
I'm on the fence, but I'm going to lean towards no because I'm afraid it would kind of take away from that first week.
Interesting.
Well,
it goes 50-50.
What happened as a fan, you know, we go back 2 years with the Seahawks and the Rams, both competing to get into the playoffs. I was praying that the Rams did not get in at 7.
Yes, I remember that.
Because I didn't want them to have to deal with all the negativity that I felt was going to come because they had a losing record
right.
And were getting in. So I was praying for them to lose that game and not get into the playoffs because I didn't want the team to have to deal with that being a young team that they were.
Right.
As much as I want to see my team in the playoffs,
but I think
also
you're
don't
an
want to see
I think you're an anomaly. I think you're an anomaly. I think that the San Diego Chargers fans probably would have been thrilled had their team
made
the
playoffs. And the way it would have played out, the Chargers would have played the Colts in Luck. You know, would that have been fair for Andrew Luck to get knocked out by a team that
I think as you point out, North Turner probably wouldn't have minded.
Yeah, this is true. It goes both ways, and you know, I'd have to see it, and if it happened, I'd probably be okay. But I just have reservations a little bit about some, you know, subpar teams making it.
Well, plus you throw the cliche any given Sunday.
Well,
exactly.
You know,
right.
The other side of my argument is the NFC side. You still would have had all winning teams this year, so maybe
right.
My argument may not hold too.
Well, I mean, it varies with each season. It varies with each season
yeah.
Every year.
Oh,
so.
Obviously,
yeah.
Right.
The NFC was a lot stronger and beat the AFC a lot more than
absolutely.
It did, and that's why the NFC has, you know, 10-win teams not in the playoffs.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. Well, here we go. You know, a week from now, we're going to be taking a look at the only game left remaining in the NFL season. And we're going to have the Baltimore Ravens going up against the San Francisco 49ers. The Harbaugh, right, exactly. Which I think is a great storyline, to be perfectly honest. Jonathan and I were talking about it just this morning on Fan Junkies Radio. I think that really is one of the more interesting storylines of the whole thing. But before we get to that point, I think that there's probably a lot of people in shock that it wasn't the complete opposite, that it wasn't Atlanta and New England. Brandon, where are we coming down on this one?
I'm wearing my Patriots jersey.
You're crying in your beer this morning?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm disappointed, but as Belichick said in his press conference today, they were the better team yesterday. They made the plays. The Patriots didn't. Every time the Patriots got, you know, from inside their 30, 35-yard line, it was generally ended in a turnover. They didn't do what they needed to do to get there, and the Ravens did. They earned it. They played harder. They won. So, yeah, they deserve to be there.
Okay.
Now, the other side, I was a little surprised. I thought Atlanta was going to be, you know, they were at home. You know, their quarterback has a little bit more, you know, experience than Kaepernick does, but they couldn't get it done either. They kind of, if you looked at both their games, they jumped out the big lead. They're at the 20-0 in Seattle and had to sweat that out. They had 17-0 on San Francisco and came back to lose. It's like they can't finish. They can start big with all the energy, and then they just kind of let it up.
Yep.
It's almost like they're playing prevent defense from the third quarter on, and, you know, that goes well, obviously.
That's a great point. Jim, let me ask you a question. The early lines that we've seen on the game, running anywhere from 4 to 4.5 in favor of San Francisco, is that a surprise to you?
Not at all. I mean, this game to me is a pick-em game because these two teams are so evenly matched. Both have dynamic quarterbacks, and I never thought I'd say that about Joe Flacco.
Thank you.
You know, I often nickname Joe Flacco, for lack of better terms.
Wow.
But he's gotten the job done. He's made big play after big play after big play in this postseason. Pay this man his money, Baltimore. He deserves it. Pride of University of Delaware. Meanwhile, conversely, for San Francisco, put it this way, they're evenly matched up. Both have strong defenses. Both have great running games. Passing games are very good as well. This is a coin flip. In fact, I have a coin right here. I might just flip later on just to give my pick.
Right.
That's how close this game is. It really is.
Let's talk about that defense for a second, though. I think there's a bit of an anomaly there or maybe a misconception.
Yeah.
San Fran. For the season, ranked number 3. Baltimore was ranked 17th. Really? Is Baltimore really that good? Seriously? 17th ranked overall defense in the entire NFL. Sidekick, where do you see, what are your thoughts on this particular game in this matchup?
Well,
I know you're happy about Baltimore.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, I'm not that shocked about this weekend. I mean, we talked about it on the show. We both said, we thought Atlanta had the hot hand and was going to win over San Francisco. But then I also said at the end of that that I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta lost, because that's kind of been their MO the past couple of years.
Yep.
But, you know, we thought maybe they were going to shed that this season and this was going to be their year.
Yep.
And, well, maybe not.
Let me throw out a couple of real quick questions before we run out of time.
Sure.
I made the question, I posted to Jonathan this morning. Does Atlanta make changes this offseason?
I don't see how they can make many changes.
Yeah.
I mean, the only question mark is, who are you going to get to fill the potential void of Tony Gonzalez if he doesn't retire, which all accounts say he will? That's the only thing they need to worry about. They've got a good nucleus in place. Don't mess with what they've got.
Mm-hmm. I could see them maybe on defense adding a good cornerback. I think Asante Samuel's proven at every stop that he's not. He's not as good as he thinks he is. I mean, yes, he can return a touchdown, you know, an interception for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, you know, but he can also drop passes, you know, that he should catch as a cornerback.
I think it's nobody else.
Yes, and he gets burned, and that was part of the problem at the end of that game yesterday. And they could use some secondary help. I think offensively, they're stacked.
I
think you jettison Turner and Rogers. And you go after and you go try to get
up. I'd keep Rodgers.
I was going to say, I don't know about Jacquees Rodgers. He looks like he's going to be good.
Well, Turner's in his ninth year.
Turner's
in his ninth year.
Maybe you know, give Rodgers a start as a primary and get a new one.
Rodgers is only in his second year. I would continue to hang on to him. But that was one of the areas that both Jonathan and I had diagnosed this morning in the radio show, was that we felt that Atlanta needed a little bit of running help. That's what we thought.
Yeah. I think that would take them over the top. Offensively. They do need to work a little bit on that defense.
I'm going to put Jim and I'm going to put Brandon on the hot seat. Sidekick and I are going to make ours. We're going to make our Super Bowl picks in next week's show. Brandon, Baltimore or 49ers? Where you got it?
Ultimately, I think it's going to come down to the 49ers or the Baltimore Ravens. The 49ers are the flashy pick because they have the new offense, you know. Kaepernick's, you know, the hot quarterback right now. But I think in the end, I think that defense is going to play everything they got to make sure Ray Lewis goes out of there with the ring.
Yeah.
And Flacco's been, as Jim pointed out, fabulous in the postseason so far.
Yeah, he really has.
Nobody expected it. He doesn't have an interception for the entire postseason. I mean, we're talking things like, you know, normally Tom Brady and Peyton Manning does, but Joe Flacco's doing it. So I think the Ravens are going to win. It's going to be a good game, though.
Jim, flip your coin.
Oh, there we go. It says Texas. Oh, no. Okay, seriously, I think San Francisco wins this. It's going to come down to a 3 or 4 point swing. And wouldn't it be poetic justice, Mike, if David Akers, through all the trials and tribulations he had during the course of his season, and this postseason, of course, he missed a key field goal in the conference championship game. Wouldn't it be poetic justice for him to get the game-winning field goal in the Super Bowl? I could think of nothing better. I think San Francisco wins this close one. I think Colin Kaepernick is the difference maker in this game. He is for real. It's making people forget about Alex, what's his name? Trebek.
Alex Karras.
No,
Jim, you might need to remember that name. There's talk the Eagles might focus in on trading for that Alex, what's his name?
It could be, although I think is going to go with Nick Foles ultimately.
I don't think he has much choice.
Pac-12 allegiances and what have you, he's spoken very highly of him in the past. I don't see any way Michael Vick stays in this town. I really don't.
I don't think Chip Kelly has any choice but to go with Foles, at least for this year. We don't have anybody else to pick from, and the draft is not very good. So.
Well, yeah, and you can't judge Foles' performance truly on this season because he had no offensive line.
Bingo.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, I'll tell you what. Go ahead. Throw your pitch in there one more time for CLW.
Oh, bless your heart. You're a good man, Mr. McShane. It is CLW83.com. We do podcasts every week ranging from sports to politics to video games. And a special shout-out, we're doing a special podcast during the Super Bowl. And we have a pregame thing during the Super Bowl. We have a running tradition. We've done this for a couple of years. You know how Bodog has the unique game lines for Super Bowl events?
Yep.
Our traditional thing, we do the over-under on how long it will take for insert anthem singer here to sing the national anthem. It is a tradition unlike any other. So CLWAD3.com, check it out and tune in, won't you please? And thank you for having me on, Brian Osmike, Mike and Sidekick.
We appreciate you being here. Let me run around real quick. Let me just throw a couple of quick shout-outs myself. FanJunkies.net, get over there. We're Sports Meets Social Networking. Tune in to Jonathan and I Monday, Wednesday, Friday over on Fan Junkies Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Plus, 5 minutes at the Frat House rebroadcast every Saturday with me at 3 o'clock over on Fan Junkies Radio as well. HerbFM.com down in Washington, they've been rebroadcasting us, and we appreciate it. Jim, we appreciate you being with us here today. Brandon, thank you for joining us in on this one. We're going to probably do this again, you've got to know, sometime in August, and we'll bring back the preseason roundtable, and we'll get some of these guys back. In the meantime, you know what you got to do. You got to keep us real, you got to keep us live, and you got to keep us going. See you next week.
Man Brawl.
Oh, I think Jim made a great choice in starting Cumbersack.
Actually, I think it's Cumbernack.
It's Cooperdick.
I'm pretty sure it's Humperdink.
Nickelback.
Cumberbung?
I feel like we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, John is a little less amped up than Jim, but let's face it, he has a lot less to be excited about.
Flacco's no Sanchez!
Well, Ray Lewis is like The Wire. Both are great, both are from Baltimore, and both scare the hell out of Middle America.
Yeah. Hey, lazy eye.
Warren Sapp.
Rephrase your question and trim your nose hair.
Mom?
Hey, Dick Vermeil.
Love the tie. Stupid question.
Vice President Biden, go.
Oh, dude, have you heard of this Manti Te'o stuff?
Oh, fake girlfriend. Oh, I've been there. And she was hot.
All right, and congratulations to future Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez. He now has as many playoff wins as Tim Tebow.
Oh, burn!
That is being nice.
Alrighty, so there you have it. That was this week's very different 5 minutes at the Frat House. Did we catch everything? Is there something we missed, perhaps? Do you agree with everything? Do you disagree with something in there? Do you want to weigh in on some of those topics? Well, I'm going to be here with you for the next couple of moments, next 15 minutes or so, and you can weigh in with your comments on that particular episode. 347-237-5373. However, I thought real quick here, one of the things that you just heard in there, almost leading off the top of the show, one of my first questions to the panel was, what do you feel was the perhaps biggest impact on this particular season? Pick one thing. Could have been a team, could have been an event, could have been a player. What do you feel was one of the big impacts of that particular of this past particular season? And two out of four of our panelists there said that they thought replacement reps actually were. Well, to give you an idea of how far ahead of the curve we are here at 5 minutes at the Frat House, I'm going to take you back real quick for a two-minute clip here from the first roundtable, from the preseason roundtable, which I had prefaced to you at the beginning of the show. This was from 5 minutes of Frat House number 50, and it was we aired it on in around August 12th. And one of the questions you'll hear in this, I posed the question to the panelists at that particular time. Mind you, this was before the season began. I posed the question, do you really believe that the replacement refs could have an impact? Now, just to give you an idea of how far ahead of the curve we are here at 5 minutes at the Frat House, take a listen to this one.
Is anybody here concerned about the fact that this potentially could have an impact on really important games?
Absolutely. It definitely could. You know, but also, over the last bunch of years, NFL referees aren't getting any better. To me, I think they've been getting worse.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I mean, there's so many missed calls, botched calls, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if they can do as bad of a job as that. You know, I don't know if it's going to be as worse.
I think it's going to be 100 times worse.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, we got referees that don't even know what teams are playing. They're calling out, you know, Atlanta and Arizona, and, you know, I mean,
like
come on. Hey, you know, you want to talk about push league,
I mean,
bro.
It is almost a little bit embarrassing. It's sometimes, yeah, I mean, we are in preseason, though.
Yeah.
I mean, so,
I think,
you know, I'm kind of hoping that there's a bit of a learning curve, maybe, if we have to go this direction.
I think if we see the, you know, the these interim refs for the whole season. I think as the season goes on, they will get better.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you almost have to put an asterisk at the end of the season to the standings.
Wow.
Because I think they're going to have that much of an impact in these games, mm-hmm. that they're going to be influencing outcomes of games negatively.
Right.
Well, another thing you got to look at is we might see a lot more instant replay. We might see a lot more
That's
delays
what I'm thinking.
In the game.
That's what I'm
a
thinking.
A big positive thing.
You know.
It could help. Yeah. It could help. They might get more stuff right.
You think
right.
that could be a positive?
Absolutely.
The NFL
Absolutely.
Might want to think about allowing an extra challenge, you know, this season for the head coaches, just because we got...
Well, they're gonna have would that have to go through the CBA?
I don't know about that. I mean, I think...
So, actually. I think it does.
You think
to
it does?
Yeah,
wow.
I believe so.
I don't know. I don't know if they can do anything at this point,
yeah.
but, you know, the way it is now, they get two challenges per game. If they're right on both of them, they get a third. So, you know, is that enough to fix mistakes? Maybe, maybe not.
Right.
Their mistakes may be more blatant that they get it right all the time. Well, it'd be interesting to see down the road the challenges, the percent of challenges, how many times the head coaches were right with these officials or the regular.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't it be funny if it comes
That'd
back later
stat.
On?
That'd be a neat stat to look
yeah.
at.
Yeah. Well, you're on that one, all right? All right, for next year.
Okay. Now, there you have it. And, you know, at the risk of patting ourselves on the back too much, I think it's kind of ironic that, you know, two of our panelists came back the other day and indicated that, hey, replacement refs really did have an impact on this past season. And yet, there we were preseason actually talking about that potentiality. And of course, we did see it in that infamous Green Bay and Seattle game. Again, 347-237-5373. We've got about 13 minutes left here for this particular hour. And if there's something you heard there that perhaps maybe you want to weigh in on, maybe you agree, maybe you disagree with something, maybe you felt we missed something, maybe you thought there was something that was even more important in this past season that we didn't touch on, please feel free to give me a holler. And we do have a call on the line. I believe this is Mark, so let me take Mark in here right now. All righty. Mark, you there?
Yeah. Hi, brother.
Hey, man.
Great show. Yeah, you hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay. This is a related thought, although it's not particularly touched on by your panel, which is awesome, awesome to view and listen to. And I just wanted to share it with you. I think of impact. When we talk about impact of the NFL through the season, I think there's a sort of an ironic, to use the term by your panelists, a tale of two cities, and that has to be the city of New Orleans. The city of New Orleans in the NFC South, right, ravaged by Bountygate with litigious fallout that dragged through weeks 7 and 8. We still weren't sure what was going on with that club. They went out to an 0-4 start, possibly 0-5 if I'm incorrect, before they kind of turned it around. They surrendered near 7,050 yards. That's an NFL record for a club that was once dominant. Now, on the other side of the coin, interestingly enough, this very same city is hosting the crown jewel event, the Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. And I think as a city impacted with the pro and the con of what has been this year's NFL product, this city stands out starkly in my view. I don't know what your take on it is, but I just find it very, very interesting that they are simultaneously cast out from the elite of the NFL, but at the same time, they're hosting the very elite of the NFL. And I think that's a tremendous divergence of paths in one city.
Yeah, good point. And there were a couple of our panelists who I was actually talking to pre-show before we actually did the taping of this past week's 5 minutes. And a couple of them actually said that they had Bountygate and the whole issues with New Orleans as, you know, up there on their list, you know, probably within the top five on their list of impact issues affecting the NFL. It certainly will be interesting to see what kind of a reception Roger Goodell is going to get next Sunday down there in New Orleans you know, as he's there for that Super Bowl. It certainly is going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to be surprising. I do not think that he's going to be welcomed greatly in that particular town at all.
Well, yeah, you know, Drew Brees is out there right now, and of course he is the face of almost all of Louisiana by virtue of being New Orleans quarterback, and of course he's trying to do some popular upbeat PR spin, reminding everybody down there that, you know, really it was Goodell and Tagliabue who came in to keep the franchise in the city, and in fact, you know, it was Goodell that helps harbor that broken down, torn up city, and help rebuild it and reestablish its face. So yeah, I absolutely agree with you. There's some mixed reaction from New Orleans, from what I've read around the league,
yep,
to how it's gonna fly. I have one other question, real quick. I just wanted to throw to you. Especially since I know Joe Flacco is one of your favorite quarterbacks, and having listened through the year, I know you consider him right up there with some of the top of the top. And here's my question: do you think that by virtue of making it to this game, be it for the 49ers or the Ravens, does a quarterback who is guiding his team into this game necessarily pierce the veil and become elite? There's some give and go as to whether or not Joe Flacco has now, you know, kind of broken through the glass ceiling. He's thrown no INTs. He's got great numbers. Everybody is standing back saying, wow, where did this guy come from? Meantime, your elite quarterbacks that we could name a handful right off the top of our heads, right? You got Brady, you've got Roethlisberger, both the Manning brothers, Drew Brees himself, who I mentioned earlier. These guys are not in contention, but here's Joe Flacco. And do you think necessarily a quarterback making it to that big stage automatically, is there a light switch, it turns on, he's now an elite quarterback, or is that all smoke and mirrors?
Well, didn't we have this conversation just, what, a year ago or more with regard to Eli Manning? You know, Eli Manning, apparently, I mean, he came out, if you recall, was it prior to last season, and made the comment that he believes he's an elite quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, in my personal opinion, Joe, making it to the Super Bowl, I think certainly elevates your position. I don't know if it's necessarily an it. Look, even if Joe Flacco wins the Super Bowl, even if Baltimore comes out victorious, I don't know if that necessarily makes Joe Flacco an elite quarterback. Elite, I think, has to be reserved for a minimum of two wins, two Super Bowl wins. That would be kind of my benchmark. I guess that would be my line of demarcation. I think everybody's going to have a different line of demarcation on that. Certainly, perhaps maybe the folks in Baltimore would say, oh, no, Joe Flacco has now elevated himself to elite. I will say this, that I certainly now I'm sitting up a little straighter with Joe Flacco than I have in the past. And you joked on the front end of your conversation how, you know, he's one of my favorites. No, folks, I have been very dismissive of Joe Flacco, and yet he's a local boy to me. As Jim Williams pointed out in the show, you know, a Delaware Bluehead from Audubon, New Jersey. Excuse me. I have been dismissive of him. I think he's come up small many, many times. I think in this particular case right now, you have to elevate his position, but elite status, I'm not sure I'm ready to hang that tag on him.
Yeah, well, I appreciate exactly what you're saying. I found it to be a bit overblown, although coming from my end of the phone line, I am actually pulling for the Ravens. I'd like to see the guys in purple get this. But I agree with you. I think Joe Flacco could be the best serviceable quarterback if he wins, but I don't necessarily know he's gone through the stratosphere to elite either. Thanks. I appreciate the call, brother.
Listen, well, I got you on the line real quick because I've got a couple of moments and something I'll throw out at you. I was listening to some sports talk radio here in the Philadelphia area this morning. And there was a great a bit that one of the talk show hosts had on, and that was name one or two things that you would love to see gotten rid of in sports. Any thoughts on that one?
Oh, wow. Geez, I didn't know. I don't know. I'd have to give that some thought.
I'll couch it this way. This comment and this question coming on the weekend of the most wonderful exhibition
I see where you're going there. Yeah, it's Pro Bowl weekend, and I know everybody's looking forward to it. Well, listen, I sent off a little post off to NFL.com, and you know what they ought to do? I really think they ought to just take that game. They could save it. They could keep it in Hawaii. It would probably have to go through CBA and a lot of other malarkey to make it work. But you know what I see? The Pro Bowl is a great entree. It should really be reformulated to open a season, not try to fill in this weekend between. It's lost. Nobody wants to play in it. Your Super Bowlers can't even participate. And your Super Bowlers, a lot of them are Pro Bowlers, so they're not going to participate this weekend. It's simply exhibition anyway. Why not open the year with it? I think it'd be a great way to start up the year. Have it the week that Sunday, right before Labor Day. And welcome the fans back with it. I think that's the way to do it. It's only exhibition. Your players are going at, what, 40%, 30%? There's no defense. There's no real hitting. I think it'd be a great way to start up an NFL year instead of what it is. And I kind of hate, because I'm old school, to see it go away completely. I think there is some fan value to it.
I've proposed it out for many, many seasons now. For numerous years now, I have proposed it out as being the Hall of Fame game. You take the All-Stars from the previous season, you bring them to Canton, you make that the Hall of Fame game. To me, it's wonderful justice, because what you have is you have potential future Hall of Famers meeting the old Hall of Famers. It's the first game of the preseason. If you recall, the Hall of Fame game is always an extra game that is played anyhow whatever team's roster it appears on, whatever schedule it appears on, and nobody else is playing that weekend anyhow. Make the Pro Bowl the Hall of Fame game. That's what I would do.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. I've got Roger's number. I'm going to call him next. I got to talk to him about some fines I don't agree with.
Oh, there you go, man. All right, Mark, I appreciate you calling in again this week.
All right, real good, Michael. Talk to you again.
You got it. See you next week.
All right. Ciao.
All right. There we go. We got about 2 minutes remaining right here on this week's edition, and it's been fun, and I appreciate all of you that have been out there listening. Make sure you're here with me again next week right at this time. I'm always here on Saturday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And have the, please, by all means, make sure you take some time to call in, please. I'd love it. I'd love to hear from you. A couple of shout-outs. Please don't forget my buddy Jim Williams, who was on with us today on our 5 Minutes at the Frat House program. You can find Jim and a lot of his efforts and all the things they're doing over at CLW83.com. Make sure you check that out. Also, make sure you're here with Jonathan Regison and myself every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12 noon Eastern Time for our regular Fan Junkies Radio. And please make sure you get out to FanJunkies.net. Social media, where sports meets social networking. Make sure you get out and join that. It's fast, it's easy, and it's completely free. All right, so get over to fanjunkies.net. Jonathan and I have some tremendous shows scheduled for our Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes coming up. So please make sure you're tuning into those. Tune in this Monday. And if you can't tune in live, you know it's always archived. All right, folks, I thank you very much for tuning in again with us and with me this week. One more thing I'm going to ask you to do, and that's, hey, don't forget to keep us real, keep us live, keep us going. I'll see you next week. Take care.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.